Blog Talk Radio.
Our intro.
Yay!
Welcome, everybody, to the Sunday night edition of the Applause Radio Show. Joanne is with us, and I'm John Riccio, and tonight we have a special guest, Pete Remy, the bassist from Vanilla Fudge, one of my favorite bands.
Yay!
From the 60s. Yeah, excellent band. Hey, Pete.
Hi, John. How you doing? Hi, John. Hi, Joanne.
Good.
Hi, Pete. Thanks for joining us on.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We appreciate it. Please, you kidding? Everybody, welcome to Applause Radio Show. Tonight we have Pete Remy. He's the bassist from Vanilla Fudge, and I've been dying to talk to him all week, and finally we got him on the air. So, Pete, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Great.
Yep, I'm doing great.
Well, those of you who are listening, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, sorry. Those of you who are listening, we can also be heard on HamiltonRadio.net. It's Hamilton Radio Station, and it's one of the largest radio stations in New Jersey. And we now have, due to joining them, 55 million listeners. So, yay!
Yay! Wow.
Exactly. So, John, go ahead. Were you going to start the question?
Well, I was going to say that I looked at our stats. We're in Sweden now, Canada, Japan, Italy, and you know, all of the United States, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah,
the
show is just taking off because of people like you, Pete, and we thank you so much for joining us. And so let me start the questions here. Let me ask you. You're a Jersey boy, huh?
I mean, certainly am. My entire life I've lived here.
Yeah, I'm in Clifton. You were a Patterson guy, right?
Yeah, I was born there. I was born in Patterson, but I actually grew up in Wayne Township.
Okay, I work over there, actually. I work in Wayne, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, are you still living in Jersey? I'm guessing by your number you do.
Yes, I do. I live in Byram Township, which is essentially Stanhope, if you've ever heard of the old famous Stanhope house. I could probably walk there in about 10 minutes.
Oh, cool. From my house. And your address is? I'm kidding. So now the band itself, I mean, everybody's pretty much tri-state. I mean, that's amazing how you guys all hooked up. I mean, you aren't the original bassist, however. But,
no.
So how did you hook up with the guys?
Oh, boy, that story could take the whole hour easily.
All right, that's fine.
But I'll try to keep it as short as possible. I've been a lifetime fan of Vanilla Fudge. I mean, the other guys are a little bit older than
I was going to ask you, how much older are they from you?
Roughly 5 to 6 years.
No, that's not so bad.
So, the first time I saw them, I was 14 years old. So they and that was actually it was one of the first major bands I ever saw, mostly
that
kids my age, but it was actually before the Fudge made it. I saw them on the day before their first album was released, and they were still basically a local band. Of course, they took off like a rocket right after that.
Right.
I became an instant fan, and I literally followed their careers. They were together as a unit only for about three and a half years or so before they split up and started doing other things in 1970. This was 1967 when I first saw them.
Right.
And they split up in 1970, and Carmine went on to play with Rod Stewart and Jeff Beck and Jim McCarty and Cactus and BBA. And, of course, that was with Timmy also, Tim Bulbert, the original bass player. Vinnie Dinnon did some of his own things, and Mark Stein went on to play with Alice Cooper, Dave Mason, Tommy Boland.
Wow.
So he did a lot of things, too. So I followed them throughout their careers, and they were together. They had a couple of reunions. They reunited in 83, I believe it was, to do another album, and then they reunited again in 87 for a concert tour. But I didn't meet them until 1997. I got, even though I followed them, I never met them, but I got involved. I was dabbling in computers at the time. In 97, the internet was pretty much brand new, really.
Right.
And I got involved with a fan website. I actually did a Yahoo search. There was no such thing as Google back then.
Right, exactly.
And I searched one night. I was bored. I searched Vanilla Fudge, and up came this beautiful website. But it was a fan site created by a gentleman out in Las Vegas. And long story short, I emailed him. We became pen pals, and he learned I was dabbling in websites. So he took me on as kind of an assistant and was teaching me the ropes. And what happened was, one by one, over the next year, the original members discovered the website. And yeah, the webmaster, he kind of put them all together, and they liked the website so much that they declared it their official site, even though they weren't even though they weren't performing together. They hadn't played together in about 10 years.
Is that still their official webpage or
not? Yes, it is.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Amazing.
And, yep, it's still their official website. And believe it or not, in 2005, I became the webmaster, and I've been managing the site ever since.
John's our webmaster too.
So in 97 or 98, they decided to, I learned through the website that Vince Martell, the original guitar player, lived fairly close to me. So I went to see him at a gig he was doing without the Fudge, and we met, we kind of hit it off and became friends when he learned what a big fan I was. Then he also learned I was a musician, and we jammed together a couple times. So, but then the Fudge got back together for a show in Japan in 1998, and then he introduced me to the rest of the guys. And,
why did Tim leave the band? I mean, is to do with it?
No, he retired. The first time I played with them was in 2002. It's actually 17 years ago, over 17 years ago. They got together to do a short tour in January of 2002, and the day before the first show, Tim came down with pneumonia. He was hospitalized, and so Vinny knew that I knew all the Fudge music, and with less than 24 hours notice, they tracked me down. I was playing it. I had a day job at the time. They tracked me down and said, "Can you do this?" And I said, "Well, yeah." So I subbed for three shows for them for that weekend, and Timmy was ill for a while, and then he came back, and then he also then short time after was in a rather serious motorcycle accident.
Oh, geez.
And so I subbed for him some more, and but then he came back, but actually he was okay, but some of the lingering aches and pains and twists and bends from the accident
made it
difficult for him to tour. So he came back and was with them from, I guess, 2004 to 2007, and then he retired in 2008.
And you guys are cool, right? You guys are cool, right? You guys are friends.
Timmy is a good friend. He actually, I played with Cactus too, and subbed for him there. He actually is the one.
I've never heard of Cactus, believe it or not, and I was wondering what songs that they had out that we guys would know.
Okay, well, they Cactus, I don't believe had any major radio hit. They were kind of like a Grateful Dead underground type band. They had four or five albums, and it was Timmy and Carmine, and Rusty Day was the lead singer. He was the singer from the Amboy Dukes.
Oh,
and Jim McCarty was the lead guitarist of original lead guitarist of Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. And you hear the Devil with the Blue Dress and Socket to Me Baby, the little guitar solos on there. That's Jim McCarty.
Oh, wow.
An amazing guitarist. He's really, an amazing guitarist. That was, and they formed that band after Vanilla Fudge broke up in 1970.
Oh, okay. That's how it came about. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you started rather young, though. I mean, I think your ambitions were initially to be a guitar player or a drummer?
No, I was a drummer first.
Bass kind of go hand in hand, you know.
I actually believe that playing drums helped me greatly as a bass player because it helps me to think, lock in with a drummer and think like a drummer. So
right.
That did help me. That did help me a lot.
Yeah, you got to be on time with the drummers when you're playing that bass.
Yep.
So, you know, cool.
Yep.
And what made you change into? What's the story behind that? Why did you choose the bass over the drums or guitar or for that matter?
Okay. Well, I was basically lazy because I was still
Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah. I wanted to make some music, and I was playing drums and like before I could drive. And most of the time, my friends and I, when we were young teenagers, would jam at my house because the drums were there, and they were a pain in the neck to cart around. I didn't have a car, I had the little red wagon. I had to pile them up on, and so when the guys wanted to start playing at their own houses, it was really tough for me to move the drums around. So I told the guys,
That's why you don't want to play a drum because you want to carry the shit.
Exactly.
But you want to set it up and break it down. That's funny.
Right. And I started playing bass when I was 14. When I first saw the Fudge, I'd only been playing bass about six months.
Right.
But I told my best friend, Jeff Gunther, who's an amazing guitar player himself. He's been on Hamilton Radio a lot.
Great.
So he's well known down in the Trenton Hamilton area.
Oh, excellent.
So
we're new to Hamilton. So, we're getting acquainted.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the people in the Hamilton Trenton area will definitely know Jeff Gunther. He was with a very famous band down there called Wind and played with Ernie White down in that area in the band called Wind for many years back in the 70s, I guess that was.
Cool.
And he's been interviewed on Hamilton Radio a number of times down there. Jeff is my oldest and best friend. I've literally known him since I was 3 years old.
Wow.
So, and I was just saw him today. I jammed with him this afternoon, as a matter of fact.
Oh, cool.
So I sat in one of his gigs today. So we're still best friends.
So let me tell you, you're this big fan of Vanilla Fudge, and you get the opportunity to play with them. Tell us how amazing that felt. I mean, honestly, how amazing when they said, "Why don't you sit in and then you're going to play with us for the rest of the whatever."
That's funny. I'll be very honest.
You feel like the lottery or what?
I guess it's very, very difficult to put into words because I've been the steady bass player now for almost 9 years. It'll be 9 years next month when they made me permanent. Timmy actually retired, and I'll tell you, to this day, even when I stand on the stage, I'm always on stage left, and the other three guys are to my right. And when I look over there. And see those three guys standing there. It's still unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's still unbelievable.
It's just a thrill, and you're still in awe. I can only imagine.
It really, really is. And most people. I mean, they were my heroes, but Tim Bogert was definitely my hero. He just blew me away playing bass. And Mark Stein is just the most amazing keyboard player and singer. He's like one of my all-time favorite singers. His voice and even 50 years later, his voice is still killer. It's amazing. And it's not just me. I can mention, this band, of course, prior to me with Tim Bogert, you have inspired so many bands that people don't know about.
Right.
Deep Purple wanted to be the British Led Zeppelin, the British Vanilla Fudge. Mm-hmm. Led Zeppelin opened for Vanilla Fudge for their first two tours.
I was going to say that. How amazing is that? Now, was Zeppelin a big then or what? I mean, for them to open up.
Nobody knew who Led Zeppelin was. As a matter of fact, if you Google Led Zeppelin posters, you will see that in many of their first shows, their name isn't even spelled right. Their first gig was that one of them is Len Zeppelin. Yeah, Led Zeppelin, L-E-A-D, you know, it all
spelled wrong.
It's
got to be worth some money.
And it's a funny story, and Carmine, like, the Carmine Appice likes to tell this story,
yeah.
That their very first show, Vanilla Fudge actually paid them.
Wow.
The first show when they came, the show was already sold out when their agent tried to get them in, and they said, oh, well, there's no room in the show and whatever. There's no money. The show's already sold out. We don't need another attraction and something.
Right.
So they actually, Led Zeppelin made $700 on their first show, and they took it out of the fudge money. A running joke is that Led Zeppelin owes Vanilla Fudge $700.
Fifty years later. Are they still close in any way? Are they still in touch? Or?
I don't think so. I honestly don't know. I don't think so, but they're definitely friendly. That's for sure. Because
cool.
I do know that back, you know, it's 15 years ago now when the Fudge, I wasn't with them then in 2004 when Timmy was back, they played in England and Robert Plant sat in with them. I do know that. So they are, you know, I don't think they have occasion to see each other, but they're still definitely on friendly terms.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
Jimmy Page did an interview recently, within the past few months. I remember reading it, and he mentioned saying what a great time they had touring with Vanilla Fudge. So
wow, that's cool.
I'm sure they would still be friends if they saw each other.
Well, before I go on to the next question, if anybody wants to give a call and talk to Pete, give us a call, 646-478-0999, and give us a call.
Hey, Joanne.
Would love. Yeah.
We have a caller.
Yeah,
we have.
Oh, excellent.
We have Big Paulie. We have Big Paulie from Florida. He has a comment or a question about six-string bass guitars. Big Paulie, go ahead.
Oh, there you go, Pete. It's all yours. Welcome, Paulie.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Excellent.
Hi, Paulie. How are you?
Hey, Pete. Great show in Clearwater, Pete. Great to see you, as always. Now, I want to tell the station and the interviewer, of course, I've known the Fudge since they started. I have an inside track. But above and beyond any other bass player playing with this group, they couldn't have picked a better musician. Not only is Pete a great bass player and a musician, but he's even a better human being. And I'm glad that
I've already got that feeling.
Friend, right, Pete?
Paul, if you could see my face is turning red now.
He's blushing. He's blushing.
Hey, Pete. Was the Stone Pony gig your first gig with the Fudge? The ones I took the pictures of. Okay.
Oh, yes, it was.
Very cool.
It was. Yep.
Okay.
And Paul says he has an inside track. Paul and I are friends. Paul is Vince Martell's cousin.
Oh, there you go.
So he definitely has an inside track.
He knows everything.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And just to let the interviewer know, with regards to Cactus, it was a real knockdown, drawn-out, heavy rock blues band. Listen to their first album. It's got great cuts on it. Parchment Farm.
To check it out.
Parchment Farm, Can't Judge a Book by Its Cover, and Brother Bill. So those are great.
Oh, cool.
Those are my favorite hits.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out. Thank you, Paulie, for sharing.
And whenever you can go see Pete, he plays locally too. So go out and see him, and you'll always have a wonderful evening.
Excellent. Well, at the end of the show, I'm going to find out from Pete where we can see him because I would love to catch it.
Okay.
Very good. Hey, Pete.
Excellent.
All the best to you and everybody. Regards to everyone. I'll catch you next time I see you. And thanks for everything.
Yeah, we'll be back in Florida at the end of the month, but it's nowhere near you. It's way up in Pensacola, so I think that's way too far for you.
It's a little out of the way, yeah. But all the best on the continued tour, and all the best to the radio station.
Thank you, Big Paulie. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Paulie.
Okay.
Talk on you later.
Joanne.
Yes.
Joanne,
man.
we have another caller.
Yeah.
We have Mike from New Hampshire. Go on, Mike.
Hey, Mike,
Pete.
Welcome to the show.
Mike. How you doing? Pete.
Good. How are you?
Good. When are you going to play New Hampshire again? I'm kidding.
I don't know. We still don't have any New Hampshire dates yet. Still, the closest one still is Fall River, Massachusetts. I'll put in a plug for all the shows later on, if I may. But,
I'm kidding.
Course.
I'm kidding.
Absolutely.
Pete's a good friend of mine. I'm just calling in to say hi and let everybody know that besides the fudge, he helps out on a lot of benefits, and he plays with my band every year for the last 4 or 5 years and helps us out with the firefighters. So I just wanted to thank him publicly on live radio.
Excellent.
This is Mike Lusby, who's the drummer of a band called Lusby, who's a great drummer from the band called the Rocking Chairs, who my wife and I, wife Beverly and I, met up in New Hampshire. We have a vacation condo up in New Hampshire, and we met Mike up there quite a few years ago, and his lovely wife Nancy, and they do a benefit every summer for their local fire department up there, and that's kind of a cause dear to my heart, because believe it or not, I was a firefighter for most of my life.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was a volunteer in Wayne Township for almost 15 years. In the firehouse on Jackson Ave up there, since you say you work in Wayne, you might.
I know exactly where it is. That's where I was almost killed, the corner of Jackson and 23.
Okay. Well, this is up on the hill behind the Wayne Hills Diner up there.
There's a firehouse behind it up there.
Yeah. And then I was also a district warden for the New Jersey State Forest Fire Service for 30 years.
Really?
So, yep.
Very, very cool. Very interesting. Yep. So you answered my question. I was going to ask you if you weren't a musician, what occupation would you have chosen?
Yeah,
there you go.
A firefighter.
Yeah, I did try for that actually back in the early days, but when I was just playing music locally, that's a very difficult job to get. Very difficult job to get.
Yeah.
And I have two wonderful sons, twin boys. They're grown men now, boys. That were both volunteer firefighters, and one of my sons is a paramedic in Bergen County, a paid paramedic, and my other son is an animal cruelty investigator down in Virginia.
Hey.
So they're in emergency services also.
Excellent. That's wonderful. Thank you for the services, guys. Appreciate it.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted to thank let everybody know how good Pete is for helping other people out. So we appreciate it, my man.
All right.
Anytime. I almost didn't make it this year. I thought I was going to be on the road.
That's right.
I just made it up there at the last minute. I'm glad I was able to do it, Mike.
It was great. Thanks so much. Say hi to Beth.
I will. And say hi to Nancy.
Okay.
Thanks.
See you later. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Take care. Bye, Mike.
Bye-bye.
I wanted to ask you also, you also sing, and you have a very wide range, and you don't look like you sing falsetto. I'm sure you're very good at it, but you just don't look like you do.
Yeah, I guess I can understand. I mean, I'm 6 feet tall and weigh over 200 pounds, so I guess I guess I can understand that. But that's those are the parts that Tim Bogert sang. He's got an extremely high voice, very high range. So somebody had to cover it. So
you totally filled in. Yeah, you totally filled in.
So you also
worked with Bernie Williams. He was Les Paul's partner. Did you ever meet Les Paul, or no? He's already passed.
I'm probably the only musician in the state of New Jersey that actually never met Les Paul.
Wow.
That's kind of interesting too, because I was actually at his house once but he wasn't there. I had a friend who was pretty good friends with him, and we went to see him and knocked on his door, and
he wasn't there. Was he from Jersey too?
Yes, he lived up in Les Paul lived in Mahwah, New Jersey. Beautiful area. Yeah, beautiful area called Deer Haven, up near the in the Ramapo Mountains near Ramapo State College.
Yeah,
Mahwah. Very close.
Nice.
To.
Yeah, Mahwah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And I was actually friends with Les Paul's son, Rusty, may he rest in peace.
Oh, wow.
He passed away a few years ago, but now I met at Rusty's wake. I met a number of his children, and now I'm friends with them. His
Nice.
Les Paul's grandson, Les Paul's grandson Stephen, was a restaurant owner up in New Hampshire. He lives up in New Hampshire, and his daughter Beth was down here in New Jersey, and he has another son Gary, who I've gotten to know also.
They got to play guitar. Please tell me they do. I mean, their father created the electric guitar, you know.
I don't think they play much music. You know, I could be sure. I've never seen them do that or not. I don't think. Oh, I know Stephen never had the time. He was a restaurant owner, so he was there all the time. So,
right.
But I know they don't. I know they don't professionally. That's for
right.
sure.
Cool. Well, all right. Here we go. We're gonna go way back. I don't know if you could answer this. I'm sure the guys have shared this with you. Where and why Vanilla Fudge? Where did they get the name Vanilla Fudge and why?
They were I'm a pretty good Vanilla Fudge historian, so I can answer some of these the history questions. Not all, but they were originally called the Pigeons.
Really?
And yeah, their original name was the Pigeons. And when they recorded the album, they were on the Atlantic label, Atco, and Ahmet Erdogan, who was the president of Atlantic Records, didn't like the name and told them they had to come up with a new name. And it was they're not even sure themselves. It was somebody, a relative of the band. It was a young girl who used to love to eat vanilla fudge ice cream, and I believe it was her uncle called her, nicknamed her Vanilla Fudge, and they somehow the guys heard that and said, "Hey, that's a cool name." So it came, it stemmed from that. The story is similar to that.
Oh wow!
Coming from there, and
it also
fit. They felt that it fit because the Vanilla Fudge were I'm sure huge fans of the Rascals because they were part of the Long Island scene. Where the Young Rascals started, Billy Joel started with his band
Hassles,
and Leslie, and the Fudge loved the Rascals' harmonies, and it was kind of like a Blue Eyed Soul kind of thing. So Vanilla Fudge, Blue Eyed Soul, it kind of fit.
So
they felt that it fit also.
So let me ask you this: why did they pick the song from the Supremes? I mean, was it because it was they wanted to turn this pop R&B song into a psychedelic rock song to let people who were into rock get the song, or like what made them choose?
What
made them choose that song to do, and what made them change a name to Set Me Free instead of Keep Me Hanging On?
Well, it is actually called You Keep Me Hanging On. It's not
right.
Set Me Free.
Exactly.
I mean, the Fudge call it that, too. I mean, we affectionately call it Hanging On. But, I mean, on the label, it is You Keep Me Hanging On. A lot of people think that's the name of the song, Set Me Free, but it's not.
That's what I gathered.
Well, all right. Let me back up again a little bit. Also on Long Island was a band called The Vagrants, and which Leslie West of Mountain fame was the guitarist of that band. And the Vagrants started these big production numbers, which the Fudge really were trying to imitate. The Vagrants were a huge influence on Vanilla Fudge. And it became so they were trying to do these slowed down versions and heavy psychedelic production numbers, all these different songs. And so one day, I believe it was Mark and Timmy were riding in the city, and they were parked in front of a club. It was cold out, I remember them saying. Because Mark does tell the story. It might have been the Cheetah. I'm not sure. But they were parked in front of a club, and the Supremes, You Keep Me Hanging On, came on the radio. And, you know, it kind of sounded like the Chipmunks, you know. Set me free, But the song sounded very happy, but the lyrics are actually very, very sad, and what they term hurting lyrics. You know, it's really not a happy song, but
it's not.
So they said this song should be much slower and much more soulful and emotional.
Right.
So Mark came up with this arrangement, and they pieced it together. Mark did a lot of it, and then Vinny came up with this huge raga type guitar solo in the thing, and they made this big production number out of it. So that was really the Fudge formula: is song had to have hurt in lyrics because, and that was part of, and then make these slowed down production numbers out of it.
What was Motown's or the Supremes or even Berry Gordy's reaction to the wanting to do the song in that type of genre?
Well, I'm not aware of the Supremes or Berry Gordy's opinion of it, but I do know, and I've read an interview, the song was written by Holland, the songwriting team of Holland Dozier Holland.
Oh,
and,
I know that. Yep.
Yeah, and actually the Fudge version was their favorite version. They liked it very much.
Really?
Yeah, they liked it. They liked it a lot. Yeah, they liked it a lot.
They didn't like the bubblegum pop version.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying they didn't like it. They liked the Supremes.
Well, no. You're right.
But they, yeah, they, oh, no, they definitely liked
it. They liked the check. That's what they liked.
No. Seriously, they did like. Oh, they loved the Supremes version too, of course.
Right.
But they really liked the Fudge version. They really.
Oh,
liked
that's
the Fudge.
Great. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So who influenced you to want to, play the drums? But you know who. Obviously, you had an influence to play the drums. So,
well, that is a story you've probably heard 10,000 times, and I can say it in two words.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you have. Ringo Starr.
Wow.
Ringo Starr. I was in fourth grade, and I took up drums in the fourth grade to play in the school band. That lasted a year, and I was very bored because all I had was a pair of sticks and a practice pad. I very seldom got to actually play on a drum, like once a week. And I put the sticks away for about 2 years, and then the Beatles came out, and I fell in love with the Beatles music and stuff. And I just, there was something about Ringo's drumming, and then I remembered I had this pair of sticks in my junk drawer buried under all this. I didn't throw them away. As a matter of fact, I still have my very first pair of drumsticks. I still have them, and they are probably close to 60 years old. Now they are 60 years old. Yeah, and so I used my mother's armchair as my first drum kit, and on holidays, my parents began to piece together a Frankenstein drum kit for me. When they finally realized I was serious about it, they bought me a nice new drum kit. I was probably maybe 16 years old then.
Yeah.
So even when I was playing bass, I was still playing drums. I played drums in bands even through my teenage years into my 20s. I went back and forth. I still play drums too, but the first big band I was in, major band in the area, was a local band. I call it major band. It wasn't not a touring band or anything. It was big on the CYO Catholic, CYO, high school dance scene back in the 60s. We were all young teenagers.
What was the name of the
play
band?
Bars. It was called Heaven's Sunday.
Oh, so you got close. Sunday to Vanilla Fudge. How's that?
Yeah, and
that's irony.
And coincidentally, Sunday was spelled Sundae.
Oh, like the ice cream. There you go.
Yeah. Oh. It was spelled spelled. I put up a Facebook page for it just as a kind of a nostalgic thing. But because a lot of people have done, that I've run into over the years in Jersey remember us from back then. So yeah, we were pretty cool back then. And our big number was "You Keep Me Hanging On," too. Believe it or not,
we used to kill that song.
Yeah,
like
the whole
so
band.
Coincidences there.
The whole band was. There were big Fudge fans. Oh yeah, but that's true about a lot. I hear that all the time. I speak to the fans a lot, being the webmaster, and oh my God, it's amazing. Oh, my band played "You Keep Me Hanging On." Oh, my band, everybody played it. Everybody played it.
Right. Wow.
Hey, Joanne, we got a call. We have a caller, one of Pete's friends, Tommy from, I think he's in New York, right, Tommy?
Tommy Moore.
Tommy, you on?
Hey.
Hi, Tommy.
Tommy, welcome to the show.
How are you?
Hey, Tommy.
How are you, Tommy? How you doing?
I'm great, right, Tommy. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there, day by day, Pete. You know how it is.
He's hanging on. He keeps him hanging on.
That's right. Well, I know Pete personally, and he knows that I'm as an avid fan of the Fudge as he is, and we grew up the same time. And from 67 on, I've never stopped with the Fudge, as Pete knows. And for me, for anyone to replace Tim Bogart was almost impossible. But if there was ever one human being on the planet that could do it, it's Pete Bremme. And not only is Pete a great bass player, a great singer, he's a great guy, a gentleman. I enjoy his company, even and with his wife, Bev. We've been places together. I mean, you couldn't ask to be around a better guy, a nicer man.
Well, he fooled you, too, huh? He fooled you,
huh?
Too.
I fooled you, too, she said. Right?
No, he didn't fool me. But you know,
saying, I have an awful lot of checks to send out tonight.
A couple of things I wanted to say. Well, first of all, I wanted to say, you know, for people that probably don't know this, and Pete, also, I had the opportunity of watching Pete, which probably most people don't know. He is a hell of a B3 player, too, because one night on the island, Pete had to play the keyboards, and T.M. Stevens played bass for the Fudge.
Right.
Remember, Pete, at Tanner Park?
I sure do. I sure do.
And
you
I
had
mean,
a monster B3, a Hammond B3 organ?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My old one, actually.
He played the whole night. He played the whole night, and he played it unbelievable. I mean, I was shocked. I was shocked. And believe me, I know the Vanilla Fudge is probably as good as Pete does almost. But also, too, that's something that probably a lot of people don't know. But what I wanted to ask Pete, mm-hmm. and this is more just my out of my own head, because I know this is something that I believe. But Pete, do you believe that Tim Bogart, in one song, the song Take Me for a Little While, completely changed the world of bass playing with that one song?
I actually do, because it's really, I believe, you know, and there, it's probably the first pop song, you know, top radio hit with a bass solo in it.
Really?
You know, There are a couple of others that have some bass riffs in it, but I think one of the Box Top songs has a couple of bass lines in it, free bass lines, and there are a couple of songs that actually, you know, that
the
may
letter,
start
right?
with a bass. Not the letter. Probably Like a Baby has that little bass line.
Yeah.
Down, a couple of bass lines in there, but I think. I don't know the year of that, but I think Take Me for a Little While was first, because that's 67. I don't know when Cry Like a Baby came, but still, even that's not really like a, it's like a running bass line. It's not really a solo, but Tim's solo in Take Me for a Little While, it's actually a solo.
Yeah, I think it did change the whole ball game, that one song.
Well, on this vein, while we're talking about that, other than Vanilla Fudge or any other songs you've worked on, Pete, what do you find to be the most infectious and time-lasting bass line out there? The most memorable.
Wow, that's a tough one.
There are so many, I know.
Wow, I think you stumped me there. I think you've stumped me there. There are just so many timeless bass lines. Actually, you know, there's one that it isn't even really prominent, and it's just a little diddly thing. And his name escapes me now, who played bass on it. It was the Four Seasons. What a Night. There's a little bass diddly thing at the end of the bridge on that thing that always gives me goosebumps when I hit it. It's so simple. It's not really prominent. It's not an actual solo, but it's just a line. I just love the bass work in that song.
And which one do you find most recognizable when you hear it, that you know automatically that it's Sly. And Sly Stone.
Okay. Oh, Larry Graham. Okay.
You know, I love that one.
But now it's interesting that you should
Louie.
Interesting that you should bring that up. It's interesting that you should bring up Dance to the Music. I'm sure you're talking about Dance to
of
the
course,
Music.
Of course, of course.
The bass line. Do you realize that the drum part and that bass line is almost identical to the Beatles' You Can't Do That?
Oh, really? I never
noticed
that.
It's almost identical.
Never
if you listen to
that.
And it's almost identical. So and You Can't Do That came first.
Mm.
That was before Sly. So I actually was working on an arrangement of doing a mashup of putting those two songs together because they're the same timing, the same rhythm, the drum part's almost the same. I think there's one little bass drum kick that Greg what's his name? I just saw him like a few weeks ago too. A drum, sorry, escapes me at the moment. The original drummer of Sly. Did and he one little extra drum kick he did that Ringo didn't do, but it's almost identical in McCartney's bass pattern is almost it's almost identical. So you can sing one song over the other. It's really cool. I'm working on an arrangement for a mashup of those two songs. Actually.
Oh, cool! That's gonna sound fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of Elvis's that he played actually the bass? You're So Square, the intro.
You know, I knew that Elvis played some bass. I've seen pictures of him holding a Fender bass, but I really didn't know what songs he played bass on, to be honest with you.
Well, I was surprised he played that on this song. It's called You're So
Okay.
Square. He plays the intro on it, and it's good.
I'm embarrassed to admit that I'm not really like a walking encyclopedia of all the bass players that played on, you know, I know some,
but
you know, things like that. I've never studied, you know, I'll be honest with you. I was so into the music. I didn't care.
Exactly.
It was funny. It was like, if I saw a player that I really, really liked, I would study that player like Paul McCartney and Tim Bogert and a few others.
Right.
And a few others. But if I heard a song I liked and whatever like that, I just listened to the music. And I didn't have to say, gee, who was on that?
Listen to the music.
And the Fudge guys, yeah, Carmine and Mark especially, they break my chops all the time. Now, you know, oh, you've heard of so-and-so, don't you? And I said, no. He's a bass player. One of the most famous bands. You don't know who he is. You're a bass player. They break my chops all the time with that. Like, sorry. I know the song, and I know, but I don't, you know, it's just, I guess I shouldn't admit that, but it is true.
Do you have kids yourself?
Yes, I have two sons, Matthew and Adam.
Do they play?
Twins.
Oh, cool.
They did for a while, but they didn't last long on it. You know, Matthew played guitar for a while, and Adam played piano for a while. I know Matthew picks up the guitar every once in a while, but he's not in the band. He's not in the band or anything. He's extremely busy. He's working. He's the paramedic, and he's working for two companies actually, and he's also expecting my first grandchild, which I'm very happy to in January. His wife Jess is expecting in January.
Oh, congratulations. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you. Yeah, I'm ready to be a grandfather. Yeah, I'm psyched.
He's ready.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
He's ready.
I got a question.
All right,
Mooney.
Guys.
Hey,
I'm gonna go, but it was great talking with you, Pete.
Okay. All right.
And
let me say that.
Take
Mars
care, Tommy.
Also,
and nothing
right.
better in the world than grandchildren. I got six grandsons, nothing better. And I wanted to say one thing. John, I was just up at the 50th reunion of Woodstock, and John Fogerty did the Sly song you were just talking about.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, it was outrageous.
Yeah.
The Death of Your Trucks did I Want to Take You Higher. Was amazing.
Oh wow!
Oh,
that's my favorite. That's my favorite Sly song.
And I learned.
He's got some great ones.
I learned one bass song in my life, and then I quit. And it was Louie. That was it.
Well, before he hangs up, let me say Tommy's a great singer, and he's got his own band.
Nice.
And, he's also a very good interviewer. He's interviewed me a couple times,
great.
And when he used to have his own cable TV show. Did you take it back again, Tommy? I know it was off the air for a while. Madhouse TV, is that back on again?
Yeah, Facebook Live took care of that. But I'm going to be doing private interviews like at the Iridium and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll be seeing each other.
Okay,
excellent.
Great. Okay,
excellent.
Great.
Well, thanks for
Tommy.
Calling. Yes, Tommy.
All right,
thanks
Peter.
For
take
calling.
Care. It was
appreciate
great talking
it.
With you.
Stay
you
too.
Best,
thank
all right?
you.
Yeah, thank
take
you
care.
For having
care.
Me.
Take care. Have a good night. Thank you.
Hey, Pete. I got a question for you. You're teaching
sure,
bass guitar also. You're teaching bass guitar also, right?
I don't have any students at the current time.
Oh,
but I have had.
Oh, I'm first.
Well, what I wanted to ask Pete. Is what type of people were coming in to learn bass? Because it seems that today the people don't want to learn an instrument. They just want to pop something in the computer and get away with it that way. And I was just curious what kind of people were coming in to learn bass and what was their attitude about learning the songs and what kind of songs did they want to learn?
Well, I've had people come in from quite various walks of life. Had a guy who was, a hobbyist who was in construction. He's a gentleman. I think he's about my age, but he's a rock player, and he just wanted to learn some theory and a little bit better technique because, I think he was teaching himself. And, if you teach yourself and you don't have the right technique, you can only take it so far. And
right.
and then your own fingers get in the way, so yeah. I was trying to teach him some technique. And believe it or not, a friend of mine's wife, who is actually a classically trained pianist who plays at her church, at their church, their worship team bass player left and she was taking up the bass to fill in that notch playing bass at church. So
cool.
She's well-versed in theory and an excellent musician herself. So I was basically same thing, teaching her technique because she knows that same thing with piano. If you don't finger things correctly, you can only get so far and then your fingers kind of
right.
tie themselves up in
now,
knots if you don't learn the proper technique. So I was teaching her technique for a while.
You're self-taught.
Bass guitar. Yes, I am
yeah.
self-taught. Although I was a music major in high school and in college, so I'm trained in theory and things like that and
right.
reading music and stuff.
Yeah,
but bass guitar, I taught myself and I played the wrong way for a while too until I looked it up and I taught myself the proper.
Right.
I took drum lessons. I definitely took drum lessons, but I've never taken any bass lessons.
Hmm.
So.
Well, you're a very good bassist to not have lessons. You
thank you.
It's ear and feel. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You need both, really, I think. Well,
right.
I mean, for rock and roll, you don't really need to learn how to read notation.
Right.
But, I mean, chord charts certainly help you. I mean, you definitely need to know how to read chord charts and theory always helps, too.
Right.
By playing by ear, you apply the theory through your ear that way, and that definitely helps. Although I worked with a really great guitarist once that couldn't even name you the chords.
Yeah.
He played chords, and I'd say play a D chord, and he wouldn't even know what's that. I don't know, you're kidding, right? I thought he was joking with me, but he was a great guitarist, but he just literally from whatever just took it totally by ear and learned the fingerings and didn't even know what the chords were. So, some people just have it.
When you guys play out, do you usually play with other bands from the 60s or is it usually just build Vanilla Fudge or did you guys do like, how they did a compilation tours?
Yeah.
Are you guys involved in
both.
That or you do both? Okay, cool.
We actually all of the above. We do a lot of shows. That's just us. We have a few that are coming up. When we have time, I'd like to plug some of those, plug our shows.
Absolutely.
But we did some tours. We opened up for Blue Oyster Cult a few years ago. We did it, opened up for them a number of times. And plus we did, last year we did the Hippie Fest tour which that was a lot of fun.
I bet.
That was so much fun. We headlined that tour and we had Rick Derringer. We had Mitch Ryder.
I love that.
And we had Joey Mulland of Badfinger, all on the same bill. And Carmine and I sang backup for Joey Mulland. It was like I'm a big Badfinger fan myself. Mm. And I also would like to put in a little plug here. I have a local band here called Carnaby Street, which is a British Invasion tribute band. We do, you know, Beatles, Stones, Dave Clark Five, Kinks, you know, and not just Beatles and Stones, but some of the other animals and the Bee Gees. Actually, the Bee Gees, believe it or not, was a British Invasion band way back when, and a few others that we do. I do a lot of Badfinger tunes with them too. And being a huge Badfinger fan, I knew the words, and Carmine is too. And we were like standing on the side of the stage singing along, you know. And said, "Well, we should go out there and back him up." So Carmine said, "Hey, can we back you?" Said, yes. Over about 2/3 of the tour, we for a couple of songs, we'd walk out on stage and sing backup for Joey Mull. That was a thrill. I really enjoyed that.
Well, I was going to say, as a musician, my favorite part was always after the show was done and there was musicians hanging around and we jammed out. Well, what's your favorite jam session that you had?
Favorite jam? Just jamming with people in general?
Yeah, just, you know, getting together with a bunch of guys after a show and just playing.
Wow. Honestly, we don't do that all that much.
Oh,
after a show, we're in our 60s and 70s. We're tired after
the show. I love that part of it. You know, it's like after the show's done, everybody's
done. A lot of times by the time we're headlining, a lot of times by the time we're done, the other guys are already back in their hotel rooms and stuff. Everybody's tired. I gotta say the Fudge, you know, these guys, I'm the baby of the group. The other guys are all in their 70s and they still rock hard. They really, really rock hard. So rightfully so, they're a little bit tired after the show. They give it their all. You know, it's not just a nostalgia thing to make money. That's one of the things I love about it so much. When we're on stage, you know, I can see it in their faces. They're having a blast. You know, the paychecks are always nice, you know, I'm not gonna lie about it. But they're still, you know, 50 years, you know, and Mark Stein said he never gets tired of playing. You keep hanging on after 50 years.
They've been playing since 69. I mean, John has actually asked this question before to another guests we've had on. When you guys play out, do you notice it to be mostly older crowd that is, you know, grown up, or do you notice new fans coming in, like a younger crowd?
We, at this last show that we just did in Kent, Ohio, Kent State University, we offer to sell VIP backstage passes to come and hang with the band, and you know, you can. It's available on the Vanilla Fudge website. Mm-hmm. You come early and hang with the band for sound check, and you get a free CD or something, and we sign stuff, and you hang with. We had one there. A young lady was 26 years old, paid for the VIP pass to come and hang with us. So
how cool is that?
That was very cool. Like, we were shocked.
Yeah,
it was like, really?
Exactly. How cool was that?
And she drove 6 hours to get there, too.
Wow. I love when the younger crowd loves the older stuff. I really do.
It's a mix. I mean, we get some come in wheelchairs and walkers, but then we also, they bring their children, they bring their grandchildren. We get people in their 20s and 30s coming in, too. It's a mix. It's definitely a mix. We get the old hardcore fans that, you know, because they're in their 70s, too. And I mean, and figure the band is in their 70s, so they have fans that are in their late 70s and even 80s because, you know, they were at the focal point in the 60s. You know, there were a lot of people. You know, so the guys, I think, when they recorded Keep Me Hanging On, I think Mark was 19, I believe. So there were people in their 20s then that were big fans of the Fudge. So, you know, they're in their almost mid-70s now. So some of the fans are pushing 80, you know.
Right. So the band is still original members with the exception of you joining in 2012?
No, 2009.
So, I mean, everybody's pretty original other than Tim, right? I mean,
that's correct. They are the original members.
Excellent.
They, yep. And there are very few bands that have, there are very few bands left today that have three or,
exactly.
three or four.
Right,
members,
exactly.
You know?
Well, that's what I like doing the show. I want to get these folks on, you know, so that they can tell their stories. I mean, I know they have in the past when, you know, when music, this type of music was popular and everything. But, I mean, it's like, let's get it out again, you know. In that light, what do you think of this, the way people are recording nowadays and the music that's out there now? I mean, I think it sucks, but that's my opinion.
Yeah. No, they're
another tough one.
Well, no, you actually asked me a multiple part question, really.
Right.
There's two answers to that question.
Right.
There is still some good new music out there. You have to look for it, but there is still good music there. You know, band like Greta Van Fleet, you know, they're kicking ass out there, you know, if I could say that. They're out there, you know, and playing really down and dirty rock and roll. What I don't like is the way it's recorded anymore.
Right.
Now with all this auto tune and stuff like that, man, I love the mistakes. If you listen to the old classic rock albums, they're loaded with mistakes.
Yeah.
But they've taken the humanity out of it. When I record, I say, you know, like that. Don't let me, the engineer. Let me fix this. Let me fix that. No, I don't hear it. If I don't hear it, I don't care if you hear it. Leave it alone.
Right.
I mean, I've picked
and
out.
And only a musician would hear it. Not your average. They wouldn't hear
the
thing.
Quantizing the beat and making everything dead on the beat and stuff like that takes the humanity out of it.
Yeah.
It makes it sterile to me.
Right.
So leave it alone.
Human beings.
Exactly. Leave it alone. It's not perfect. No, it's not perfect, but it's great.
Right.
It's great. It's not perfect, but it's super great. Leave it alone. You know, leave it alone. The digital stuff. I'm a fan of analog equipment and tape and stuff like that. I know, the digital does carry more frequencies. I know that. People argue that with me. It's technically it's better. Yeah, it is. But I like tape warmth and
the
recording.
Real thing.
So, yes, I mean, there is a lot of the music that I think sucks today. But there was some music in the 60s that sucked too.
That's
people
true.
Have forgotten about. You know,
right.
It wasn't all great. I mean, most of the bands were great, but they're. I'm not going to name any names, but there were some songs in the 60s that I really think, no. Then some of them made it pretty big, too. But I'm not, Mom said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything.
Exactly.
So
well, other
hey,
than
Joanne, we're coming, Joanne.
Yeah.
down to, we got like a minute, got about 3 minutes left.
Oh,
so
crap.
If Pete wants to tell us
all
where
right.
he's going to be.
Yes, I was just going to say, forget my last question. I was just going to ask him if he was working on anything new other than touring and playing.
No, just let me mention that what I have done, I'm on two albums with Vanilla Fudge, Spirit of 67 and Live at Sweden Rock, if you can available on those. So you'll hear me play with them on that, two albums.
Right.
I'm also on a Cactus album with Jimmy and Carmine. It's called Black Dawn. It's a very hard rock album.
Cool.
You asked me if I was going to play locally. Next Friday night,
where can we see you?
I will be at a place called Tim Kerwin's in Middlesex, off Route 28, with Carnaby Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the following weekend, I'm sorry, I can't remember. We have a Facebook page and website. I think it's Carnaby Street spelled out, carnabystreetband.net, I believe it is.
All right.
With our schedule on, I'll be down at the shore in Spring Lake Heights. At St. Stephen's Green Public House, again with Carnaby Street.
Right.
And the Fudge coming up, let me see, on September 28th, we'll be in Pensacola, Florida at the Rex Theater. October 5th in Kansas City, Missouri at Knuckleheads Garage.
Oh, wow.
On October 10th, we'll be in Sellersville, Pennsylvania at the Sellersville Theater. October 11th, we'll be in Pauling, New York at Daryl's House. That's Daryl Hall's.
Oh,
from
you're
Hall,
going
from
there?
Hall & Oates.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but this is our third time back there. We've sold
no,
it out.
No kidding.
Yeah, we'll be back there on October 11th, which isn't too far away, so if you can come up from this area.
Yeah.
And Sellersville is, for the people in the Hamilton area, the Sellersville Theater, they probably know that. That's not that far for October the 10th. October 13th, we'll be in Albany, New York at Skyloft.
All right.
November 16th in Fall River, Massachusetts at the Narrow Center for the Arts. in November 17th.
You guys are busy.
Yep, November 17th.
We're coming down to the last couple of seconds. I just want to thank Pete for being on our show tonight, and it was such a great
Pete.
Show with you, Pete. It was
Pete,
fantastic. And
we could go on forever.
We sure could. Sounds like it.
And go out and see Vanilla Fudge.
Thank you, Pete, very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. And if you want to come back, please feel free to give me a call or let us know. And join us Wednesday, guys, when we welcome J. Randy Tarabelli. He's a biographer, author, and he's written a lot of books about your favorite artists. And I can't wait to talk to him. I have tons of questions for him, too. I can't shut up.
Good night, guys. We're at our end. Good night.
Pete, thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.